But before I begin my presentation, I'm required to read my presenter disclosure. So, Sangsu File you the following personal financial relationship with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationship to disclose. I will begin my presentation with introduction, which includes research hypotheses and design. I'm going to focus on our preliminary data analysis result, and we have brief discussion, and I'm going to conclude with a future plan. Okay, that was perhaps too fast. So this study examines health challenges of returning prisoners from maximum security prison in New York, currently being conducted at Sing Sing Correctional Facility. We like to examine what kind of health challenges that returning prisoners have and relationship between public health and public safety, and how and whether socioeconomic and demographic factors impact access to Medicare, and we are going to think about how the findings from this study can be incorporated in inmate care and management to prevent crime and increase public safety. So there are four research hypotheses in this study. We hypothesize that health risk and substance use and chronic and acute medical conditions increase chances of criminal offending, rearrest, and recidivism. Lastly, we believe that lack of adequate and affordable health care in the community reduces deterrent impact of incarceration by reducing stigma of incarceration. And we heard of this anecdotal story of someone committing crime because that person could not afford medical care in the community. The study area is the state of New York with a focus on New York City, and there are five data sources in this study. We have baseline survey, which we conduct in the correctional facility around 30 days prior to their release. And we have follow-up survey, which we conduct about 3 months after their release. We are planning to conduct focus group, and at the conclusion of our survey, we are going to request electronic medical data, sort of preliminary, rudimentary medical data, I should say, and criminal history data of a whole cohort released from Sing Sing Correctional Facility to supplement information and validate some self-reported item as well. We are planning to use 2010 census data to assess neighborhood impact on access to medical care as well as criminal behavior. So where we are now? For baseline interview, we ask a lot of different questions, but we are focusing on health challenges, both physical and mental, and substance use. For a follow-up survey, we ask same sort of question, but we focus on housing, where they live, whether they moved, and access to medical care, post-release and treatment. We began our baseline survey in March of this year, and a follow-up survey June of this year. So far, we completed 77 baseline surveys and 12 follow-up surveys. So this is preliminary research analysis finding, and I'd like to emphasize these are preliminary findings. So far, we have 77 baseline surveys completed. Age range from 20 to 51. Over half of them were less than 30, relatively young. A third of them identify themselves as Hispanic. More than half of them identify themselves as African American, and a lot of these other 19% identify themselves as African American and something else. So we actually do have a lot more African American population than 52%. Most importantly, we asked them about whether they had any medical condition, for example, asthma, prior to their current incarceration, and whether they currently have this medical condition. As you can see here, about 25% of participants have asthma. The number was a little bit higher previously, but, and you see there's a little bit of increase for the symptom, high blood pressure, physical disability, but those are just one or two people making difference here. big difference actually comes at kidney problems and heart problem, where you see relatively big decrease. Prior to their incarceration, 10% of participants had kidney problems. Now it decreased to 3%. And heart problem, prior to their incarceration, it was 18%. Now it's at 3%, which is two people. The numbers are small, but some of the health challenges, you see a little bit of increase, but these some serious problem, you see decrease here. We also asked them about their diagnosed mental illness. 23% of participants said they currently have depressive disorder. That was 21% prior, 21% had depressive disorder prior to their incarceration. 13% have bipolar disorder, and 5% and 6% have schizophrenia, and there's a couple of other mental illness, other types. So when we actually compared the prevalence of health challenges, 47% of participants reported having no physical illness currently, and 29% had, 71% had no mental illness. So overall, about 40% of inmate participants, I should say, currently have no medical or mental health problem. When you compare it with prior to their incarceration, the previous health challenges, the numbers are a little bit lower than current, right? Then we asked about how would you rate your general health now at the time of baseline interview, about 30 days prior to their release, and how would you rate your general health prior to this current incarceration? You see almost half of the participants said my health currently is excellent. 23% said my health is currently very good. Only one person said his health at the current time was poor, and very few said fair. When you compare it with previous, 36% said excellent, and then 16% said very good. So currently about 70% saying my current health is excellent to very good. About 50% saying my health is excellent to very good. Then we asked the sort of same question, would you say your general health has improved since incarceration, or is the same since your incarceration, or has gotten worsened? 60% of those participants said their general health actually improved, and only 10%, 7, said it had deteriorated. When we asked about physical pain, 36% said their physical pain improved, meaning they have less physical pain. About 12% said they have more physical pain. When you go to this emotional pain, it's not actually clear. A little bit more people said their emotional pain has gotten worsened, and 31% said their emotional pain has deteriorated since their incarceration. But we are conducting this baseline survey about 30 days prior to their release. Then we also asked them about the substance use prior to their incarceration, or prior to this current incarceration. Have you ever used marijuana, for example, and onset of use, and how often they use? Over half of them reported using marijuana almost every week, or at least once a week, and 30% alcohol. We see actually very few of these hard drug users. It might be something to do with maximum security prison setting, among other things. Then we also asked about whether they are receiving medication currently. 25 out of 77 participants reported getting medication for physical illness, and 11 out of 77 reported getting medication for mental health disorder. And we asked them, do you think it's going to be easy or somewhat easy, somewhat difficult, very difficult to get medication after your release? 60% of those getting medication for physical pain said it's going to be easy to very easy. Very few people actually said it was going to be difficult. For mental health, out of 11 people, only one person said he thought it was going to be difficult for him to get medication. So there are total only 7 people saying, I think it's going to be challenging for me to get medication after I get released. For those, we asked them, why do you think it's going to be difficult for you to get medication? 7 out of 7 said, no insurance. And 5 of them said, I cannot afford it. Maybe the copayment is too high or medication itself is too expensive. No prescription, so on and so on. We also asked them about the health insurance coverage. Here it's important that in the participant could have reported being covered more than by one type of insurance. So the total adds up to be more than 77. But 22 said, I had no insurance before my incarceration. And 22, about the same number, said, I had some private insurance. And 9 said they had Medicare. 36 said they have Medicaid. So here we asked them, what would make it difficult for you to adjust in community life successfully? You actually, what was a little bit surprising here, we see this medical challenges, substance use, and mental health challenges at the very bottom of the obstacle. Only 2 to 3 people said those are going to be obstacle for them. The top ones are employment and criminal record and where they live, neighborhood impact. But when we asked them, what kind of services do you think you need for successful reentry? Then we see over half of them said we need medical services. And 20% said we need mental health care services. And 18% said we need substance use treatment services. So there's a little bit of difference when what they see as obstacle and what they see as necessary services for their successful reentry. Now I'm going to present findings from follow-up survey. There are only 12, so I'm not calculating percentages for 12 people. So at the end of the September, we had 25 people to follow up. 5 of them, we were in the process of trying to arrange follow-up. 4 of them, we were not able to contact at all. They just disappeared to somewhere. 4 of them were back in the custody. 1 of them said, I want to withdraw from the study, and we interviewed 12 people. Of those 12, 8 of them had some kind of physical ailment, medical condition. 4 of them had mental health disorder. Only 3 of them had no medical challenges. So 3 of them were healthy, according to them, mentally and physically. 5 of them were given medication when they were discharged. And if they wanted to see a doctor, they did not report problem in getting to seeing a doctor. So this is where we wanted to map where they return. So at the time of baseline survey, 7 out of 77 didn't know where they're going to end up. 66, most of them returned to the state of New York, and 49 returned to New York City. So our plan is geocoding these people who return to New York City and see where they are located, whether there's clusters, things like that. But we have only 70% of matching rate, around 70%, which is actually quite poor. So because of that, I'm not showing you the map because there are only 30 points in 5 boroughs. So what have we found so far? Well, at the baseline survey, participants reported having excellent to very good health, despite the fact that they have slightly more diagnosed illness in the correctional facility than prior to their incarceration. But they felt that their health improved since their incarceration. So we think it's important that inmates or participants be provided with education to help them understand their health needs and how to maintain their improved health while in custody and post-release, and how to utilize health care after their release. And about half of the participants had medical problems, actually about 29% had mental health disorder. And they also recognize medical services as necessary services for them to successfully adjust to community life after they're released. So inmates do recognize medical health services, mental health services, and substance use treatments are necessary for them to successfully adjust to community life. And at the baseline survey, participants generally were very optimistic, but of those five people we were trying to arrange the interview, we were able to do so with only one. So we should say four of them we cannot contact at all, but four of them we can contact, we can never actually get a hold of them, and four of them were returned to custody within 2 to 3 months. So what lies ahead of us? We are going to continue baseline and follow-up survey, and we are going to obtain medical and criminal records at the conclusion of survey for the whole cohort released from Sing Sing and compare key characteristics of participant and non-participant, as well as supplement information and validate some of the self-reported finding. And for mapping, for spatial analysis, we might use parole office location to examine neighborhood impact on access to Medicare as well as criminal behavior. And that concludes this presentation. Thank you.